Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, thank you for coming. It's great to be here. It's great to be a champion. It's been a long journey. It's been a long, tough season, but in the end, we always believed. We always thought we would be here. We always thought we'd be in this position from the opening day of training camp. We knew we were favored. We knew we had a lot of work to do. A lot of disappointment after the last couple of seasons. Mac, the dog, he came in here. He set the tone immediately. From training camp, Kale. I mean, what can I say about that guy? Norris Trophy winner, Conn Smythe winner, just one of the best to ever do it already at 23. Gabe, our leader, our captain. You know, he was out. He had to undergo knee surgery at the end of the season, and he came back for the playoffs. Didn't really practice, but he came in here every day, worked hard, set the tone. We just always believed in this group. It's a great feeling. It's a great day to be a champion, to be a Stanley Cup champion. You dream your whole life of this. You wait your whole life for this, and it's finally here. And it's tough to put into words, but you know, I'm excited. I'm grateful. We're gonna celebrate. But right now, I gotta take questions. So if you guys have any questions, we'll open it up. SP3.
Well, first, I have a question. I'm a great liberator, like all the great liberators in history, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Antoine Kahn and Cody Devante Rhodes. And I wanted to ask, what is the Colorado Avalanche's future plans to have more Black players?
You know, we have a very diverse front office. We'll see what's out there. Although I'm not really thinking about that right now. You know, we're here to celebrate. We're not worried about the off season. We got a lot of decisions to make. Nazem Kadri, Muslim. You know, he really set the tone. He played with a broken thumb, and he got taken out. He got taken out in the conference finals. We didn't think he was coming back. He was supposed to be out 6 weeks. He came back in 2 weeks. He scored the big goal for us. Big old overtime game four. Could barely shoot the puck, but you know, we never stopped believing in him. He said it best in his press conference or in his post game comments. You know, for anyone that doubted him, for anyone that didn't believe in him, you can kiss his ass. Nas, that's a guy, that's a leader right there. We need more players like Nas. We're not worried about what the decisions in the offseason. We're not worried about any of that. It's time to celebrate, man. It's time to celebrate. We're celebrating.
I got a question.
Caden,
you were facing the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup final. Were there any moments of doubt where you thought you might not have won this series?
Oh man, game five was tough. That was a tough loss. That one was took that one very, very hard. There was a wooden post outside that might not have survived. That took a beating. That one was a tough one, but you know, we really never stopped believing. We had a long talk. Cogs held a team meeting after that game, when we got to Tampa before game six. And he was just like, you know, guys, we're here. We've been here before. Everybody's been doubt. They think we're going to blow this 3-1 lead. We're okay. We're in a good spot. Every time we've lost, we've come back stronger. We didn't lose back-to-back games. All playoffs. We only lost four games all playoffs. We really only played two bad games the entire playoffs. But game five was a tough one. But yeah, we never stopped believing in the locker room. We really didn't. But I'd be lying if I said that game five I wasn't thinking, man, this is a tough one to swallow. But credit to the guys, credit to the boys tonight after game six. We came out there, and even off the bad start. Even off the bad start, we still came out there. We just stuck with our process, never stopped believing in our process, and got it done. SP3.
I have a writing question here from Rob from the award-winning coexisting with Rob and Maggie on Fightful Overbooked every single Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. UK. Jeremy, congratulations. Now that the Colorado Avalanche have won the Stanley Cup, do you think a veteran presence from someone like Charlie Conway or Adam Banks would be a good fit for your team next year?
Again, we're not thinking about the offseason. We're gonna celebrate right now. This is celebration time. If those guys are available, I'm sure Joe Sakic in the front office, he'll do his due diligence. He'll try to add. We got some tough decisions to make. We got some free agents, but we're not thinking about that. We're here to celebrate right now, man. This is the best feeling in the world right here. This is the best feeling in the world. We're not thinking about the offseason. We're not thinking about next season. We'll be back here next season, though. I fully believe that we'll be back here next season. And if we got to add one of those guys to do it, Joe will make those decisions. It'll be good. Can I just say thank you to all the fans out there, all the fans who stuck with us through this process. I know it was a very long season. It was a grind. You know, you have your highs and your lows, your ups and your downs. We didn't get off to a great start this year. COVID injuries. Mac was out early. Landy was out early. Taser was out early. But once we got healthy throughout the season, Darcy Kemps was great after December, after an early injury. End of the year, more injuries, and we didn't play our best hockey at the end of the year. And I know a lot of people were wondering if we could pick it up. We did in the playoffs. We came through. We finally got healthy a little bit in the playoffs, and I think it showed that we were the best team in the league. We were the best team, certainly in the Western Conference this year. But I just want to thank the fans who really stuck with us. I know all the highs and the lows, all the fans out there who supported us. It was tough. I personally got to thank my best friend, Sammer. He took all the messages I had to send him. That was, he really stuck with me through everything. He didn't stop believing either. He woke up to 300 text messages after games. I was frustrated at times during the season. I was very frustrated the long season, frustrated at times during the playoffs after I didn't have my best games. And you know, he had, even on games where I played well, he still had to wake up to the messages, because you know, the Mac pushes us, man. He pushes us. If we're not out there giving 100% every time and we're not playing our best, he's going to yell at us. He's going to get on us, especially in the playoffs. So even after wins, there was some doubt. I got to say, because never satisfied. Nathan MacKinnon just never satisfied with what we're doing out there. And especially the fiance who had to, she saw the beat up post, the post that I was beating up after that game five. She saw how down I was after game five. And I thought I was sleeping on the couch that night after that game, because it was a tough one. But fortunately, she didn't stop believing. She was right there with me through it all. You know, this is honest to God, this is the second happiest day of my life this year. The happiest day so far. October 2nd will be the happiest day of my life. But this right now, this is the happiest day of my life. But bless her for putting up with me and pulling me through all of this, because it was a long season and she had to deal with a lot. So, and this is the best feeling in the world, guys. Stanley Cup champions. We're fucking champions, guys. What can I say? We're champions. Kaden, one more. I got to go celebrate, baby. I got to celebrate.
Do you think that this was a sham championship win after the non-call too many men in game four?
Fuck off, Brooksy. It is FMC. Hello. SP3, we fucking did it. We did it. We won, baby. Oh, yes. Your optimism. Your optimism was very good. I appreciate it.
Put the salt. Put the salt bay on it. That was my last question, is how much credit does SP3 get for throwing some salt bay optimism?
You do get credit. When I was thinking fans, I got to take this hat off. When I was thanking fans and everything, like I also wanted to thank you and Kaden for always doing the hockey segments on the show. You for, you know, you're not a hockey fan, you had to deal with all of my rants and the FMC audience also had to deal with my rants. Look, this was not a easy playoffs. There was a lot of irritation and ranting, even though we only lost four games all postseason. It seems like I wouldn't be that mad, you know, only losing four games. But yeah, I was very agitated after certain games. Game five was especially brutal. But man, it's a good feeling when your team wins a title, man. It's a really good feeling. Like, that game six, you know, it was during a wrestling thing, and I wasn't really paying attention to that. I was given kind of the night away to just watch the game, and those last the fiance says, "You'd think you wouldn't be that mad." Yes, I did. I did punch a wood post outside after game five. I'm not proud of that, but I was so angry, man. I was so angry after that game. Like, I knew I was going to get angry after that game if we lost, because it's at home. It's game five. Everyone, after they won in game four in overtime, everyone's like, it's over. They're at home. This thing is a wrap. And it just felt so perfect. And I was like, it's just probably not going to happen tonight. It's just probably not going to happen.
You pessimist yourself into losing sometimes.
I pessimist myself because, like, it's easier to deal with, but then when it actually happens, it's still very difficult to deal with. Because they gave up a goal in like the final 6 minutes. It was tied at two, and then they give up a goal in like the last 6 minutes. And like, I was just so angry because I was just like ready. I was ready to celebrate on Friday night, and it didn't happen. So I was just like mad. And it was, I told her this, but like, I have to like hit something to like realize this is stupid to feel this way about sports. And I know that's not a good thing, but like, that's how, and if I hit just like a pillow, it doesn't like hurt me. So
no,
it's you need, very
you need
dumb.
Actual pain. You need actual pain to compare it to your emotional pain of losing.
Yes.
I get it. I've been
Thank
there
you.
Before.
Thank
the
you.
2004 NBA Finals, when we lost to the Detroit Pistons, that's how I felt. I needed to punch things because I was so upset at 16 years old.
Oh, it's not a good thing at all. Like, she's saying, I know it's not. I fully realize that it's not. Like, but I know it's not. I'm sorry. I said, like, I bless her because she had to put up with me, especially after game five, because I know I was not in a good headspace after game five.
She's an angel. She's an angel.
She is.
She's your angel.
She is. She really is. Yeah. Game five was tough, man. But here's the thing. I felt fine before game six. I was like strangely calm after game six. Or before game six, because game five was so bad and I didn't like the way I reacted to it at all, to where it's like, okay, well, whatever happens game six, I know I can't get there again. And maybe had they lost, I don't know what would have happened. Fortunately, they won. But yeah, game five was so bad. Like, I have to like hit a rock bottom to realize, okay, this is dumb. Don't go there. Now everything's fine. It's very stupid. It's very, very stupid.
I commend you. I commend you for your emotional ups and downs that you go through throughout the season. Because I can understand that, because I'm a Lakers fan. So yeah, we tend to overreact with these type of things, but it's totally understandable in my opinion.
Sports are dumb, man. Sports are so stupid. But I gotta say, sports are so stupid. When your team wins, though, man, we're getting a punching bag before next season. I probably could use one. Honestly, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. I didn't tear up the house or anything. I hit a post outside and it hurt. And I was very stupid. We should probably invest in like a punching bag.
That might be very useful.
It probably will be for like a multitude of reasons. Just like go by and just like sometimes you, because I do a lot of like shadow boxing and stuff just when I'm like agitated or anxious about something. I'm not agitated a lot, but it just, if I'm like anxious, so if I can just like hit a punching bag a little bit, it might be helpful. Sports are so stupid, like especially when it's someone like me or some of my friends, like SP3, I feel like you're similar. Like when you take it like as serious as we do, like sports are really dumb. Man, when your team wins, like I spent the majority of yesterday just watching that final 2 minutes, watching the celebration again. Like I feel like I just watched the like final 2 minutes of the game, like just on a loop yesterday. Just kept watching that moment as the clock ticked down and everybody's on the ice celebrating. There's McKinnon and Eric Johnson just like hugging on the ice, and when Landeskog lifts the trophy and everything, like when your team wins, you just watch that moment over and over again. I'll probably spend most of my day watching that moment today, but it's such a good feeling. It's a lot more fun to watch highlights after you win. Yeah, I watched like they uploaded highlights of like every Kel McCarr point in the playoffs. So like I was watching McCarr highlights. Like it's so fun when your team wins. It's terrible when your team loses, but man, when you win that title, fuck, it's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. I was there 2 years ago. I see the Stat King John Martin in the live chat. He could tell you how obnoxious I was when the Lakers won the NBA title in 2020. So I totally understand this feeling. I got to experience this feeling 6 times in my life with the Los Angeles Lakers. So I commend you, and I'm happy for you. And I'm glad my optimism salt wasn't reverse optimism. And it did take you back. It actually got you the win. I'm very happy.
I got to give you credit. You were optimistic. My pal Sammer, he was always very optimistic with me. I don't know how optimistic the fiance was throughout. Like, I think she was fairly optimistic, but she turned into a stressful hockey fan by the end of it. And I'm sorry that I did that to her, because I like game 4. Went to overtime. Like, she was there. She was nervous. Like, she celebrated when they scored and everything. And she was like oohing and on in game 5 and 6, everything. And she was like the anticipation in game 6 as the clock was running down and they were about to win. Like, she turned into like a hockey fan. And I'm sure most of that was just because like she was supporting me and like rooting for the team because of me. But I'm sorry that I did that to her as well. Bless her.
That's a supportive partner.
She's the best. She's the absolute best. Man, it's such a good feeling though. It really is. I know I was doing a bit of like I actually won the cup and everything, but it feels like you actually accomplished something. Everybody's on Twitter like congratulating you, like you did something. Just like, I just spent money on the team. Like, I guess I you know, you spend just a lot of time and money, but you didn't play any of the games or anything. You didn't actually put in the work. But yeah, it's, I don't know, man. It's just a good feeling. It's a really good feeling when you invest this much in sports and you watch your team go through it. And you've been through, like, especially when you've been through all the highs and the lows. Like, I tweeted this when they won. It's like after the season 5 years ago, like they were 20 points worse than the second worst team. Like 20 points worse. They were the worst team in the salary cap era, and they didn't win the lottery. So they ended up with the 4th pick. And I remember being at my cousin's wedding during the lottery, and my friend texted me like, oh, the Avs got 4th. I was like, great. I just watched this garbage ass team all season finish the worst season in salary cap era history. And now we can't even get the 1st overall pick in this draft. Like, we end up with 4th. Like, what was this entire season for? And the 4th pick turned out to be Cale Makar, who is a generational defenseman. And it's like, well, I'm glad we got the 4th pick. Like, that worked out, because we wouldn't have taken Cale first. He was not the 1st overall pick. It would have been like Nolan Patrick, probably, maybe Nico Hischier, but he was not the top rated guy. but they, you know, he was there at four. The top forwards were taken. So it's like, all right, well, let's take Kale. And yeah, he's a Hall of Famer at 23. Like he's going to be a Hall of, if his career ended today, he'd probably go into the Hall of Fame. That's how good he is. And assuming he stays on this track, he's going to be one of the best defensemen ever. Like, you go through that, like seasons like that, moments like that of like, fuck, we lose the lottery. And then you just watch the process and watch the build. Like the journey a lot of times sucks because the journey is typically filled with a lot of heartbreak. But when it pays off, like it is very.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is very sweet. And I hope that every fan of every team like gets that moment at some point. Like as an OKC fan, I hope all the OKC fans, we all get that moment because we watch the process of the Durant, Westbrook, Harden years, and now the tearing all that down to rebuilding what we're going to rebuild now. And it's like, if it ends with a championship, it's all worth it. If it doesn't end with a championship, then it just sucks. You just waste years of your life. And the fiance knows this. She literally just texted me like, worst pick ever, or worst season ever, then not a great pick. You were very well prepared to be a Cleveland adjacent fan. She's a Browns fan. It's like, she has been through this journey, this process. And it's like, you don't know if the Browns are ever going to win a title. If they do, then like, great. The journey is like, sort of, it's worth it, but it's a long journey for some of these fans. I hope everyone just experiences when they're old enough to appreciate it. Like, I hope everyone experiences like a championship that their team wins, because it's fulfilling, man. It's really fulfilling. And JJ says, little favorite big star, new media zone, the real CP3, SP3. Once for Jeremy and his abs, all hail. You deserve this celebration. Thanks, man. And thanks to everyone who has supported FMC and put up with my rants and whatnot throughout the playoffs. Because, man, it was tough. It was tough, but it was fun. Yeah, the Cavs did win.
They did. Yeah. They did. It took, but then the King left to come to LA because he had to satisfy SP3. He had to get SP3 back on his side, even though I gave him. I've said it once. I said it again. That's the biggest championship of his legacy is when he won for the Cavs. So I'm happy.
Yeah, that title means more than. Honestly, I feel like that title, that's probably the second biggest championship in the last couple of decades outside of like Dirk's. Like Dirk's title is huge. It might top Dirk's, because like coming back down 3-1 against that Warriors team, that title means a lot for Cleveland. Dirk's is up there though. Like Dirk's title holds more weight than like both of Durant's titles or anything like that. Like Dirk's title holds a lot of weight.
That's true.
Let's talk about your Los Angeles Lakers SP3. There's not too much to talk about, but they were rumored to be in the mix for Kyrie Irving. Wild day with Kyrie. What do you know?
I know.
You're the Kyrie scoopster here. But it seemed like he wasn't going to opt in. He wasn't going to sign. They were exploring sign and trade options. There were even talks that he was going to opt out and take the mid-level exception with the Lakers. He was going to turn down $36 million so he could just take $6 million and play with the Lakers. None of that ended up happening. He just opted in. He's back with the Nets, I guess. And here we go. What a stupid day in Kyrie Irving Twitter.
Hey, it was a great day for a few hours because my family was about to come to the Lakers. It was looking like it was possible. I saw Laker fans like going into hysteria when the trade rumor started of, Westbrook and AD for Kyrie and KD. And I'm just like, y'all need to calm down. Like, I'm the guy who put my reputation on the line and said that AD is going to be a top five MVP candidate. But when I heard that we could get AD for KD, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Give us KD. Give KD and LeBron. Come on. That's like the impossible. That's like Jordan and Kobe on the same team, basically, back in like 98, 99, whatever you want to call it. Like, that would have been perfect. And people were like, oh, we don't want Kyrie. I was like, Kyrie being on the court half the time, but being a great scorer when he is on the court, is much better than whatever that Westbrook is giving us for 82 games. I don't care. I'll take Kyrie for 40 games out of the season being a great scorer than I will Westbrook bringing our team down. I'm not with it. And to answer Ashok, no. There's no chance LeBron's leaving the Lakers this season. Maybe next season when he is a free agent. I mean, it's better off for him to re-sign with the Lakers. That's just me and my – I am a Laker fan, so I'm talking from complete and utter bias. But it's better for him to re-sign with the Lakers because I think it would hurt his legacy if he, like, left us in the damnation that he has put us in with after trading for Westbrook. As far as AD to the Suns, unless they give it us Devin Booker, no, that ain't happening either. And we're not trading AD for Chris Paul. No.
Would you go Ayton? I mean, Ayton, no. Ayton and Bridges. Ayton and Bridges. Bridges.
I go nice. Ayton Bridges and Booker. Ayton and Booker for AD and Westbrook. That's the only options.
You would take that deal?
I would take that deal. Booker and Ayton for AD and Westbrook. Yes,
I would. Yeah, I'd probably take that deal because I'm not as high on top five MVP candidate Anthony Davis as you are. So. Bridges is nice though. Bridges is like the type of player they need, like a 3-and-D guy who can like do more on offense. Like, that's really the type of guy they need.
All right. I got the alternatives. Like, we're playing okay. NBA 2K and they come back with this is me with the alternative. Westbrook, AD, and THT for Bridges, Eaton, and Booker.
Now Boom. You're insane. Now you're insane. You just basically traded THT for Bridges. That's a very unfair trade. Because you already did AD and Westbrook for Booker and Ayton. So you can't just be like, oh, now THT for Bridges.
We're giving you THT. Well, come on.
He sucks.
You know how much we have not traded for THT for?
How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's working out horribly. It's working out horribly for us. I don't understand why we won't trade. I've never been high on THT. I've been one of those Lakers fans that's like, what is with them not wanting to trade THT when we are getting good stuff in exchange for him? I don't understand it.
Yeah, they believed in him, and then they barely played him all season because they realized that his value was like super high after their failed season, where they played a bunch of meaningless games at the end of the season. He had like some big games and stuff. And then it's like, oh man, this guy, he's going to be the next star. It's like, no, he just had great, great games in these meaningless games, 81 and 82, because nobody else was playing. Like, don't put stock in these games. Or like the preseason or summer league, he would play great. It's like, don't put stock in this. They should have traded him. That was a missed opportunity.
So much missed opportunity. But as far as Kyrie, from what I hear from my sources, Kyrie is committed to staying with KD because I revealed this to the fellows over on Grap City. Shout out to Righteous Reg and Phil Lindsay, because Phil was adamant that Kyrie talked KD into coming to the Nets. I was like, no, legitimately, I was told in 2018, like when the season was still going on with KD on the Golden State Warriors, I was told from my sources that Kyrie was talking KD into going to the Nets. I was like, going to the Nets. I was like, nah, this is back when everybody was like swearing up and down. KD was going to the Knicks, and KD wanted to go to the Knicks. He was always going to come to New York, but Kyrie was the one that talked KD into going to the Nets. And I think that it's basically loyalty that is that made him opt into the contract for the fourth year. He wants to honor that four-year commitment that he gave to KD, but I don't see Kyrie Irving being a Brooklyn Net after this season. I don't even, honestly, if this is not, this is away from my sources. If I'm just doing my own prediction, I'm not 100% sure Kyrie survives this season as a Brooklyn
Net. Either. Loyalty. It's $36 million. That's what made him opt in to being with the Nets. I'm sure he's loyal, but $36 million, I'll be loyal for that much money too, right? I don't think he ends the season as a Brooklyn Net, though. I really don't. It feels like he gets traded at some point for what? I have no idea, but I don't think he's going to end this season as a Brooklyn Net. It doesn't seem like there was much of a market there for him, but I don't think there was a big market for him simply because teams just didn't have a lot of cap space. So it would have been tough to absorb that. And teams didn't want to trade. And I don't think anybody wanted to give him like this big like commitment. And I still think that's going to be an issue if they try to trade him during the season, is he's on an expiring contract now. Like he could be unrestricted. So if you trade for him, you got to have assurances he's going to re-sign. There's only a handful of teams that he's probably going to give those assurances to. And if you're one of those teams, do you want to commit 4 or 5 years to Kyrie Irving at whatever it's going to cost you with the way he kind of is, with the game that he sometimes plays, sometimes doesn't play? That's a pretty big commitment. You'll have leverage in that it's a players league, and like Kyrie's going to be like, well, I only want to go to this team, this team, this team, this team. So those are the only teams that are going to try to bid for his services. Kind of like Harden, where he only wanted to go to certain teams. So they didn't, like, more teams could have created a bidding war for Harden. But if he was only going to go to the Sixers only had to give up so much for him. If he was only going to go to the Nets at that time, the Nets did give up a lot. But There wasn't this huge bidding war for him, because Kyrie just kind of made it clear, well, I'm only going to re-sign for these teams. So a lot of these teams, they weren't going to try to be like an OKC where it's like, yeah, we'll take this flyer on Paul George, convince him to stay in OKC. And then Paul George wanted to flee after a season anyway, two seasons, I guess. You're not going to see a lot of teams like try to take that flyer, especially on Kyrie, given his history. It's one thing to take the flyer on Paul George when at that time, Paul George, he hadn't had these off-court things that Kyrie has had. Kyrie's kind of proven that you're probably not going to trust him to sell him on your culture if you're a small market team. Be like, yeah, we can get him to stay here. So I don't, the trade it's going to be difficult to trade him in season, but I think some team, and I think it's going to be a big market team like Miami, or maybe even New York, like, I think one of those teams is going to end up just ponying them up, trying to make this deal. And then they feel they can probably re-sign him because they'll have the cap space and they'll give him a big money contract. What that means for Durant, I don't know, because Durant's still under a big contract. I think Durant rides out the season. But then next offseason, it'll be interesting to see if they do trade Kyrie, if Kyrie ends up leaving, what happens with Kevin Durant. Maybe the Nets play good basketball. Maybe Ben Simmons is back and Ben Simmons fits in well with them. I do think he can be a good fit with what they like to do and what he brings to the table. Maybe they're just playing good basketball and Kyrie's actually happy, and maybe the Nets can actually, you know, live up to this hype that we all had for them 3 years ago when both these guys signed and they've won 7 playoff games during that time.
I mean, for the Nets, they are a favorite in the East. I think the East is going to come down to basically the Nets, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Heat. Again, I think it's going to be those three teams along with the Nets who for all intents and purposes, they were handicapped pretty much the whole season by Kyrie. I can admit that, even being a member of the Irvin family. I don't know if that works, but I'll say I'm a member of the Irvin family, the Irvin fan club. I'm on the Kyrie bandwagon, the martyr of modern day NBA basketball, Kyrie Irvin. But yeah, I don't see it ending well in Brooklyn, and I don't see the prospect of KD wanting to stay after Kyrie is gone. Like, I don't know how that's gonna work either, and that's why, if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm gonna try to trade AD for KD next offseason and get it done, man. Imagine that big three: Kyrie, LeBron, and KD. Championships.
I mean, yeah, if they could.
LeBron's gonna get one on his way out, and then KD and Kyrie on the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think Miami is the team to keep an eye on. And Miami's like always kind of a team to keep an eye on, because Pat Riley, he's going to make the moves necessary to try to pull off a championship. But they've got pieces that teams like, that people like Hero, people like Duncan Robinson, Strus, he played well in the playoffs. They've got like some young players who maybe in a bigger role can do it. Like, these guys are not Kevin Durant or anything. Tyler Hero, I think, thinks he is. But these are guys that Miami's willing to flip for the right players. And Durant's certainly that guy. They weren't willing to flip him for Harden. And I think now that was probably the right choice, because James Harden, I shock acts about the Sixers. I love Embiid. I think Embiid's great. Health is always going to be a concern with him. I don't know what you're getting out of James Harden. I just don't. I have no idea what you're getting out of James Harden. I like the Melton trade that they made on draft day. I think he's a good little backup guard for them. But Harden, a lot's going to just depend on him, what kind of shape he's in, if he still has that step that we only saw like once in the playoffs. Like, is Harden still a guy that can consistently get you not even 30 at this point, because you have Embiid. So there's no reason to think that you don't need James Harden to get you 30. Can he get you a consistent like 25? Like, a 25-8 is what you need from James Harden. And that's low end, but you do need like the 35, 40 point explosions every now and again. Is he that guy? And if he is, then I think the Sixers will be fine. I don't trust their coaching, but I think they'll be fine. Tobias Harris is a guy you probably got to like find something for. I don't know what, but you probably got to find something for Tobias Harris. Interesting offseason for the Sixers. I don't know where a lot of these teams fit right now until the offseason plays out, because so much changes. You know, this SP.
Yeah.
Like, the NBA offseason is the craziest offseason in the world. Like, look what we've already had in the last week with Kyrie Irving drama. Like, there's going to be a lot of trades. There's going to be free agent movement. John Wall is going to the Clippers. Like, what does that do for them? They've got three stars, and all of them are going to combine to play like five games, maybe. Like, the Clippers will be an interesting team to see what happens with them. I keep an eye on Miami.
Oh, man. The only thing I love more than the Suns choking is the Clippers choking. The Clippers going to choke. Oh, man. It's going to be glorious. John Wall, welcome to the choke team. Welcome to the redheaded stepchild of Los Angeles basketball, the Los Angeles Clippers.
I love these guys. And LeBron did this last year, but I love these guys who, like, they're all friends with certain players. Like, Paul George is very excited that John Wall's on the team. Look, I love John Wall. I thought he was one of the best point guards in the league a few years ago. Like, I would have taken him over just about anybody a few years ago as far as point guards, because athletic, he'd defend, like, not a great shooter, but he was sort of Westbrook-esque, but he actually played like some defense. Like, peak John Wall is one of my favorite players to watch. John Wall hasn't played basketball in like 2 years. I don't know how good this guy is at this point. Maybe he's still good, but like, Paul George is like very excited to get John Wall. He's like, do you know what you're getting with John Wall? It's like LeBron, like, oh, we're getting Westbrook. Like, do you know what you're getting with Russell Westbrook? at this point. I love Russell Westbrook, peak Russell Westbrook, one of my favorite players to watch. These guys that are so reliant on athleticism, though, like Wall, like Westbrook, coming off of these knee injuries, getting surgeries, just getting older, I just don't know what you're getting out of these guys. Maybe John Wall will be great. Maybe he actually will be great, but I've not seen this guy dribble a basketball in 2 years. I don't know how good John Wall actually is at this point. I just don't. A-Shock asked, or JJ asked about the Knicks. The Knicks are about to pay Jalen Brunson a lot of money, and I don't know if you want to pay Jalen Brunson. SP3C is very down on this idea to give Jalen Brunson the bag.
Because the Knicks, they mortgaged their future in the draft. They had the number 11 pick, and they traded it away. They traded away Kemba Walker all to get cap space. They are the biggest loser coming out this NBA draft. We watched it live. You saw how Romeo reacted on our live stream. He was like, I don't understand what the Knicks are doing, because it was baffling what they did during this draft. Like, they literally came out this draft but with nothing but cap space, and not cap space for a superstar player, cap space for an all-star player, cap space for a starter. For a starter in Jalen Brunson, a starter who had some really good playoff games this season. Don't get me wrong, his performance against the Utah Jazz was exceptional. Without Luka Doncic, he did great. But to mortgage your future for Jalen Brunson, that is the biggest Knicks move you could possibly do.
In fairness to Jalen Brunson, he is young. I mean, he's 25, so he's obviously not a rookie, like a 21-year-old rookie. I'm not like super down on Jalen Brunson. I think he's a good player, but yeah, to give up all this cap space to get Jalen Brunson, it feels very Knicks-esque when they would give up all this cap space, be like, oh, we're gonna get LeBron, we're gonna get Durant. And it's like they just sort of they ended up with like kind of a washed Amari Stoudemire, where they'd end up with.
Yeah, I have to understand. I've lived in New York my whole life. I have read. My mom used to always get the Daily News, so I have seen headlines for the Knicks getting Chris Webber, Tracy McGrady in his prime instead of Tracy McGrady when they got him, Vince Carter, Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant when Kobe Bryant was about to be a free agent.
The all not Knicks team is great.
Yes, the all-time not Knicks team is one of the greatest teams of all time. The Knicks always say they're going to get this guy. I think that this would be an astronomical fall on your face moment in Knicks history if they put all their chips behind getting Jalen Brunson and then don't get him. This would be an all-time face plant for an offseason for the New York Knicks. And the New York Knicks probably have 1 through 5 in the top 5 all-time face plants in offseason plays. Like, they do this every year and they always fail. So yeah, the Knicks, they are just the most baffling front office out there. I see A-Shock in the live chat. He says he's a Suns and Sixers fan. Then he's going to talk about the Knicks being well-known chalk artists. You shouldn't be talking, sir. You shouldn't be talking, because both of your teams have choked. The Suns with choke Pete 3 last season against the Dallas Mavericks. The Sixers 2 years ago against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. I forget. I'm sorry. I forget about that. Y'all choked. So you should not be pointing a finger at any other choke artist. You want to say, oh, the Suns beat both the Clippers and the Lakers. So what? Y'all ain't win no championships. I've seen 6 of those things. You haven't seen 1 for yours.
I mean, that's fair. Your Chris Paul slander's got to stop.
No, it's never ending until he shuts me up. It is never ending. Never.
Here's the thing, SP or A-Shock. SP3 is going to ride this, the Suns beating the Lakers. He's going to ride this injury excuse the entire time, that it doesn't matter and that they still lost in the final and everything. This is actually true. The Knicks have a plan better than any of LeBron's ideas. That's very fair, honestly. That's fair.
All right. Sure. I mean, LeBron's plan to bring AD to the Lakers got us a championship. How many championships does the New York Knicks? Man, I asked my mom, my lovely, lovely mom. I'd be like, do you even still remember when the Knicks won a championship? She was alive for it. Most of y'all that Knicks fans weren't even alive to see that Knicks championship. And she was like, yeah, it was a distant memory. It was the spring of 1972. She says it like all great grandmas tell their stories. Like it's a distant memory.
The Knicks all time Photoshop team, greatest team in NBA history. The thing with Jalen Brunson is, one, you have to be sure he's going to elevate his game to a new level. Like on paper, the Knicks wouldn't be like awful. Like Brunson takes a lot of pressure off of Julius Randle. I like RJ Barrett. I think RJ Barrett can be a very good player. And if you think Jalen Brunson is the guy who can like elevate all of these guys, then okay, go after Jalen Brunson. You just got to be very sure about how good this guy actually is and how good he's going to fit on this team, and not that like, well, he benefited a lot from one playing next to Luka. And I know he had the big games against Utah without Luka. Look, Utah sucks in the playoffs. I ain't putting any stock in any big games against Utah in the playoffs. I'm just putting none. So you just have to be very sure that Jalen Brunson is the guy that you think he is and that he's going to fit on this team. Because that's a lot of money to pay a guy who has been a second tier player on his team. He's been the second guy on the Mavericks. And it's not even that he's been like the second guy and like a Klay Thompson's the second guy sort of role. Like Luka's way up here and Jalen Brunson's like just kind of here. Like Jalen Brunson on most top teams is like the third best guy. So now if you're
I would argue that he was the third best guy on the Mavs. I think Dinwiddie's better. I would take Dinwiddie over him.
You know, if you want to, Dinwiddie very inconsistent. I'd probably take Brunson. Yeah. Over Dinwiddie overall. But yeah, it's not like if your comparison is Dinwiddie, that's not great. Like if you slot Jalen Brunson on like the Heat, like he's not better than Butler. He's not better than Bam. Like he's the third guy there. He's probably better than what Kyle Lowry gave them most of the season. Like he's the third, guy on a lot of teams. He was second on Dallas because their roster wasn't that great and they had Luka Doncic. Okay. So now you're asking him to be the best on the Knicks, or you're asking him to just be a 3C because you got a bunch of guys like RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, who are like twos and threes on most teams as well. I like RJ Barrett too. Like I actually do believe in RJ Barrett. Julius Randle hit and miss. I know he was good 2 years ago. Last year he wasn't good at all. So well, it's a lot of money to commit to a guy like Jalen Brunson. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but the Knicks got to do something. You're right that like it's one thing to like strike out on LeBron and Kevin Durant and these guys. Like, okay, these are superstar players who can just go wherever they want to go. Like they're courted by a lot of teams. Like they've been told so many things by different agents, by different teams and everything. Like they have so much power in the league that they can just kind of make their choices and do what they want. Jalen Brunson, you do all of this for Jalen Brunson and you miss out on him. If Jalen Brunson is like, nah, I'm not going to take this money. I'm going to stay in Dallas. And Dallas is another team where they have a lot of plans and they always fall through. They tried to get DeAndre Jordan. They're trying to commit money to DeAndre Jordan to turn him into the next Shaq. And he got kidnapped by the Clippers and he ended up staying with the Clippers. Like Dallas is a team that's rumored to get a lot of players and they just don't end up going to Dallas. So if Jalen Brunson's like, yeah, I'm just going to stay with Dallas and he's going to shun the Knicks and you've tried to do all this for Jalen Brunson and he's like, no, I'm good. You got to rethink a lot of things if you're the Knicks. Again, one thing to miss out on like top tier guys, it happens. even though you're the Knicks and you have all this history and everything, you ain't that relevant in 2022. Like, the Knicks are just, you're a name. You're a name with all of this history. You ain't that relevant. You miss on Jalen Brunson. You might as well just shut down the franchise. Just get Dolan out of there. Put Eddie Kingston in charge. Like, just get them all out of there. Because like, you miss like, on a guy who, like Jalen Brunson.
Who was the last free agent that chose to go to the Knicks?
Like, it's like been Amari so long. Was the big name. I feel like Carmelo resigned. Yeah, Carmelo resigned.
Well, Carmelo got traded. He was gonna sign with the Knicks as a free agent.
Right, but he also resigned. He was a free agent, yeah. And there was talks of him leaving, and he resigned. But the Knicks could also offer him the most money, and look, Carmelo is going to chase the bag. Bless exactly. him. That's smart to do. I think Amari was the last like big free agent, though. That Julius Randle was a free agent, wasn't he? Like they signed.
Yeah,
him.
He was, but I wouldn't say he's a big.
I agree.
And he's a Laker great. He's a baby Laker great. But yeah, I would say Amari Stoudemire 11 years ago was the last big free agent that the Knicks were able to sign.
Yeah.
And even him, he was the second best player on the best team he's ever been on. So, and he looked great. He looked great for the first 25 games of that season. I remember that season. I was like, yo, Amari is MVP. It was him and Derrick Rose. I was like, he's MVP so far. And then they traded to get Carmelo. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to the next season when he was a free agent. They decided to trade for Carmelo, and that ruined Amari's MVP season. And the Knicks were playing well up until they ruined the chemistry of the team by bringing in Carmelo.
I'm excited for the offseason. July 1st, it's very close. The free agency period starts. Yeah, there's not like a ton of like top tier free agents. Bradley Beal is opting out to resign a 5-year deal with the Wizards. Bless Bradley Beal. Beal's just like, just give me cash. Just give me all my money. I don't care about this winning stuff.
Why don't he win championships? Why don't he want to go to the Miami Heat or the Dallas Mavericks?
Come man on. Wants him, that cash.
Him and Luka? Him and Luka though?
It would be great. He's chasing the bag. You got to respect it. You got to respect the man who's going to chase the bag. He's cool. Kyle Kuzma's showing up in all his stupid outfits. Beal's just like, let me just go get 40 a night. We're good. It's all good. Like, let the man get his money.
Him and Dame Lillard are just going to be forgotten guys in like 10 years. People are just going to be like, oh, they were good. They were good for their time.
Damian Lillard.
Were they really that good?
Damian Lillard, one of the most overrated players in NBA history.
I mean, I can't argue with you. I can't argue with you until he decides he wants to win a goddamn champ. Why do people wait so long? Why do they wait till they're out of their prime to go try to chase a ring? Like, why don't you try to chase a ring while you're actually in your prime? When you could be the second best player or the first best player on a championship team and elevate your legacy. Why do they wait till they have nothing left?
I think a part of it is they don't want to act like they're running and they just want to join a super team and stuff. I do think like, even though the players have a lot of power, like it's hard to win. Like it's just hard to win. There's no assurances that like, oh, I'm going to go to this team and play with this guy and things are going to be great. When Kyrie and KD signed with the Nets, we thought here's two championships at least. Like here's at least a finals appearance. They won 7 playoff games in their 3 seasons. A lot happened, but this is just how the NBA goes, right? Like a lot happens, and that's why it's just tough to win. You can't predict these things. Like what team is Lillard going to go to, get traded to? And you got to like, especially if it comes to like a trade, the other team's got to give up a bunch of assets to get these guys. Yeah. And so then your farm is like pretty bare at that. So you have to go to a team that just already has one of these top guys. Like the Anthony Davis trade worked out because they had LeBron and then they just filled in the pieces around them. But then they had Westbrook. It's like, okay, well now they've given up even more pieces. And now it's just, you're left with 3 guys who don't really gel well together and no great pieces around them. There's just not a lot there. So it's tough to win. That's why you have to trust your front office. You have to just hope your front office makes good trades. And you have to, these guys want to be built around. They don't want to go to other teams and just be like, hey, this team's already here. I'm just an added piece. And the teams that they're with can pay them more. That's also what it is. These guys also like a lot of money, and I don't blame them. Go get your money.
Man, I need to be in the Lakers front office, because I would have told them, like, we don't need to trade for Russell Westbrook. We only
LeBron would have been pissed at you. LeBron would have been like, no, we do.
In the playoffs because AD got injured. Like, LeBron, relax. I would tell LeBron no. No.
You would not tell LeBron no.
Yes, I would. I would tell LeBron no. I would be happy to tell LeBron no.
LeBron would be requesting a trade within minutes if you told him no.
No. I can see the future, LeBron. Don't listen. Don't listen to yourself. Listen to me.
You're going to tell LeBron. You're going to say, I know you really want Russell Westbrook, but we got to keep Kyle Kuzma. We have to keep Kyle Kuzma instead of getting this guy that you want. You would not tell LeBron no.
Yes, I would. I would be like, Kyle Kuzma is a franchise player, and we need to, if we are not getting Dame Lillard or Bradley Beal in exchange for Kyle Kuzma.
They were about to get Buddy Hield. They were about to get Buddy Hield.
I mean, I would have took Buddy Hield.
It would have been a better fit.
At least he can shoot. Yeah, like, all we needed was a shooter. And I heard at the time, Sacramento is dumb. They weren't even trying to look for Kyle Kuzma. They would have took THT and a draft pick for Buddy Hield. Oh,
he would have been a much better fit. Money Mark says Brooklyn does have Simmons to move at the trade deadline. I mean, maybe. I still think if the Nets, these three, like Durant, Simmons, Kyrie, on paper, it's a good three. Like, I see how they work. I can see how they gel. Yeah, the problem is with this is we're not playing 2K. You can't just, like, put them on the court and do a bunch of things and just dominate teams with these three guys. Like, there's egos, there's personalities, there's off-court stuff, and they actually have to play the games. So there's a very real chance all of that blows up. But I would like to see how these three fit before I'm thinking of any trade ideas with these guys. And I'm sure Kyrie will give it like five games and they'll start like 2 and 3. And then he'll be like, all right, well, I'm out. Just trade me for whatever. I'm done. Yeah. Miami's the team to watch. Even though they want to rant, Miami's the team to watch of like, yeah, shit. We'll give you Lowry and Hero and a bunch of draft picks. Give us Kyrie and go from there. So honestly, like I don't think Kyle Lowry's kind of seems a little washed at this point. I do think injuries affected him in the playoffs, but that's not a terrible deal. If you're getting draft picks, I do like Tyler Hero. Like, especially you play him next to Durant, he's gonna shoot. He's gonna shoot well and create a little bit. Lowry, they get
Bam. Give him Bam.
They're not giving. I don't think Miami's not giving up Bam for Kyrie. They'll give up. I'd give up Bam for KD. They're not giving up Bam for Kyrie though. I think it starts with Hero because he's young and like very proven as a scorer. You have to give up Lowry sort of for the money aspect. I think it kind of starts there with Lowry, Hero, and a bunch of draft picks, and probably a little bit more. But like Kyrie, again, he's unrestricted after this season. So unless there's assurances that he's going to re-sign with Miami, you have a little bit of leverage in what you're giving up for him. Durant's going to be the tougher one because he's signed for the next 4 years. So you're getting 3-4 years out of Kevin Durant if you're trading for him. So that ups his value for Brooklyn. So it's going to be, as it always is in the NBA, a very stupid, a very crazy offseason. And I very much look forward to it because the NBA, it never stops. Just never stops.
We're going to be talking about it here on FMC. We got our basketball movie episode coming up. I just saw Hustle on Netflix, and I can't wait to talk about it on the show with Jeremy after he watches it. Going to be great times.
I think maybe next week, because there's going to be free agency to stuff to talk about next week. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out when we actually review that. But we are going to review The Hustle. Very in the very near future. Probably once free agency dies down, because like the first week's always crazy. So I feel like the next week we'll have plenty to talk about. But after that, it'll die down a little bit, and we'll have time to review the movie. Let's get into. There's not too much to get into when it comes to the challenge, because nobody got eliminated. It was a cliffhanger episode. I tell you, I'm not feeling good about things, SP3. I got Kayla and Derek left, and they're both in this week.
I got my strongest girl in there, and my like really my fourth strongest guy in there. but Kellyanne is my pick out of my girls to win, that can win the final for me. So yeah, I was not too enthused, and I'm just like, why are they even doing this elimination? Because they already eliminated Veronica, so you're gonna have four guys in the final and three girls. Like, what's that last guy gonna do? The last guy gonna run the final on his own and not have he's gonna have the advantage if he's on his own. Like,
he doesn't have anybody in the finals though. We don't know if it's gonna be teams. It might just be individual.
I'm sorry. I see the coming attractions, and they show.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. See, I don't watch that.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it. I don't watch that stuff. This is why I don't watch that stuff. I like to be surprised when I'm watching the shows. I don't like watching the sneak peek stuff. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm sure they'll figure it out. You know, if every guy gets to run a portion on his own, then it's all the same. All right, here's your leg. This is where you got to make up time where you're not with a teammate. So. We'll see. But yeah, nobody got eliminated this week, but I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good with Derek in there and Kayla in there. Because if I lose these two, I'm done. I'm nothing. I mean, I'm basically, we're both Cher and I are ready to concede to you at this point anyway. She's confident in Jhonae, and I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I could have literally nobody like after this. I would have nothing left. And so it would just be over. For me,
you would just have to start prepping your PowerPoint presentation on Kara and Paulie.
I gotta have one of them. Like, I have to have one of them get through. But I don't know if it's gonna happen. I don't know. What did you think of Derek? It's pole wrestling this week, and instead of going after Wes to settle this rivalry, he's been talking all this shit. Like, I don't know if you've listened to Challenge Mania, but like, I used to listen to it regularly. Him and Wes, this big rivalry they've had all these years because Wes beat him years and years ago. Like, they made pole wrestling famous years ago.
In the duel.
Derek talked all this shit, always wanted the rematch. Here it is. Here we go. Chance to settle the score. And he's like, nope. I'm thinking about my kids. I'm thinking about my family. I want to go with the easier challenge. By the way, don't do that. Don't give Nehemiah extra motivation of like, I want the
exactly
easier like
exactly. I was like, that was a big mistake.
Though. Yeah, I thought this was a bitch move by Derek, and I like Derek, but this was bitch made move right here.
That's why I was disappointed when Mark chose Derek, because I was like, Derek's not going to give us what we want. Like, literally, the whole episode, they kept showing clips of the duel. They kept showing clips of one of the greatest eliminations of all time. Derek and Wes in the duel 15 years ago. I was so disappointed because I knew when Derek had the choice, I was like, he's going to pick Nehemiah. You literally had to pull his arm to pick Jordan the week before when he had the choice of who he's going to put into the elimination. Like, Mark had to convince him because he just wanted to throw in Nehemiah then. But if you give him the choice of who he wants to go against in the elimination, I was like, he's gonna pick Nehemiah because he thinks that's the easier option and he's scared of Wes. He can talk all that smack he wants on Challenge Mania. This episode proved he is scared of Wes in pro wrestle. He knows Wes would give him all the smoke that he can't handle in that pole wrestle. Newcastle. Wes wanted it. Wes wanted to be chosen to be going into the elimination so he can call out Derek and get all his stars. He was talking trash to his two closest allies.
He was like, I'm gonna take all of them. He's like, you don't want me with all these stars and all this power.
He was like, I played Mario Kart my whole life. I know how to throw those shells. I was like Wes is the best. Wes had that moment talking to Brad and Nehemiah, and then the phone call with Bananas was just the one scene in this whole season that I was smiling throughout. Like, for long time challenge fans, the Wes Bananas friendship is one of the greatest things to watch on television. They were the highlight of Total Madness. This phone call was one of the highlights of the season. Like, I'm so happy for them because they had the fiercest rival. Like, my all time when it was coming to like rival seasons, I was like, they gotta do one rival season where Bananas and Wes are teammates, because they always, like, that's the one of the greatest rivalries in challenge history is Wes and Bananas. So to see them go full circle where they really have this genuine friendship, where you just don't see it on just the, you know, the challenge season, you see it outside with the stuff that Bananas does, you see it on social media with the way they interact with each other, like, they have, it's so great to see them like finally be friends.
Yeah, it was when Wes goes in there and is like, oh, I'm gonna make a phone call to, I need to talk to a mastermind. I need to talk to someone. I think everyone knew it was Bananas, but to actually see him like pop up on screen and to see them like have this friendship now after years of this rivalry was so, so good to see. So much fun to see. It is, them having an actual friendship is very funny to see. Wes has been so good this season. Like, we both knew it was happening. I know you're a huge Wes fan. Okay. We're gonna have a kid run in.
she took my other headphone, so I was about to not hear you because she took this. I was like, oh man, I'm about to not hear Derby. Give me one second. Let me grab this from her.
We both knew Bananas was gonna, or Wes was gonna be great on this season. Like, you, I know you were super excited when you saw him on the cast list. You're like, oh fuck, Wes is here, we're good. And he's so good at this game. And I'm not just talking about like the game, like actually playing the game, which he's very good at, but so good at just understanding how the show works. And like the moments that you can create, and like the things that need to be said in confessionals, and just in when you're talking to other cast members and stuff. He's just a great reality television personality, and he just understands how the show, and Bananas is the same way. And yeah, so when Bananas popped up on the screen, like any season that has like a Wes or Bananas, like, all right, you're going to get a certain level of entertainment factor while they are there, because they just understand how this all works. And Wes has been, he's been the MVP of this season, because just what he brings to the table as far as gameplay, as far as strategy, as far as just entertainment and interaction. He's been the MVP of this season. So yeah, that when Wes came, or when Bananas 100%. Came up on the screen, it was great. I did like when he's talking shit to Nehemiah and Brad, and he's just like, don't give me them stars. So
good. he was like, don't give me those stars, yo. I'll just throw them like shells at you. Oh man, it was just so great. Yeah, but you're 100% right. Like, Wes is the MVP of this season because he just gets reality television. He gets, you know, the things. He's one of the best confessionals in challenge history. Like, you want to hear what he has to say. And like, one of my biggest disappointments of All Stars, I would go down, I think it's like maybe one or two more episodes left, is the fact that they haven't really gave us that many interactions between him and Kellyanne. And like, I was like, that was one of like the missed opportunities as far as like the edit, which I'm sure they, you know, they're in the house and they know each other so well, and the way they played the game, you can kind of see
they have some type of alliance with each other, but they haven't had like direct like conversations and stuff like that. That's one of my disappointments. But yeah, just seeing Wes on this season, like I messaged you and Cher immediately when the trailer came out and I saw he was on this season, because I was like, yeah, this is what I needed. Like, I love All Stars 1 because it was like that, it gave you kind of the vibes of the old school challenge, because the challenge season has gotten so saturated and so bad with these gimmicks that they use and whatnot. So, yeah, you know, you kind of have to squeeze out any type of entertainment. And there's always been like bright spots in certain seasons, except for last season. I can't even tell you what I really liked about last season. Double Agents had Cam Roy, which I always loved them on a season. And like I said, Total Madness had Wes and Bananas. But like,
Is it bad that I don't remember last season? Did CT win though? CT
yeah. won. CT okay. and Casey won.
All right. So maybe that's why I tolerated last season, because CT won. And what's her name with the Uncle CT stuff? A lot of these seasons have started to just like blend together and everything though. And now like Ace Shock kind of mentions it, like, are you gonna watch the challenge on CBS? Like there's this whole universe of the challenge where a lot of this stuff's gonna really blend together. I'll watch it just because I like the challenge stuff. We talked about it on this show a couple weeks ago when Cher was on, and like you guys didn't know anybody from the cast, because it's like a bunch of like Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race people. And like I watch Big Brother and I pointed out a couple of Big Brother people, like, oh, I know this person, like I think this person's gonna be good, but I don't watch Survivor or Amazing Race or anything, so I don't know who any of these people are. But I'll watch it because it's like challenge stuff, and you know these people. Yeah, Emmy, good shout, JJ. And you know, like, mm-hmm. a lot of these people are going to be on like the MTV version of the challenge. They are just cultivating this whole universe, and they'll have their main show, and then they'll have their All Stars, where it's the older people that older fans like us enjoy, and then they'll have basically their feeder system on CBS, which is just people from the CBS reality shows who will now just go to the MTV version once they're there. But there's not going to be like, because they don't do Real World anymore. If they do, it's on like Paramount, nobody watches it. And they don't do Road Rules anymore. Like, these older people are just going to keep getting older, and they're not going to be on the main show anymore. They're just not. They're going to have to go to All Stars, and that's where we're going to have to enjoy them. We just got to get used to this new talent that's going to come from these other CBS shows. I just want, like, one, I need some of these people to like stand out, because I don't feel enough of them have really stood out over the years. And then after standing out, like, there just needs to be consistency when it comes to this. Cause how many times, like, they just don't bring back a lot of the people. Like, it just seems like it's a rotating cast every year. And it's like, oh, well, we remember CT because he just keeps coming back. Casey's somebody they brought back. Like, Josh is somebody they're bringing back, but nobody likes Josh. Like, who else?
Nobody likes Josh. Casey is good at the challenge, but she has no personality.
Yeah, no personality.
No personality. Fessy, people remember because he's awful. He's an awful player, and he's an awful person in general. It's like all the people that stand out is for the wrong reasons, except for maybe Kyle. Kyle was on like six straight seasons, and he's very entertaining. He's good at the challenges, so he's been good, but he's not on this season. I think that the gimmick now with the main season is they have to have one of the three who I call the GOATs of just entertainment for the challenge and in the challenges in general, CT, Bananas, or Wes. They didn't have CT on this season because he won two straight and he was like, oh, nah, I gotta think about my family. I'm taking too much time from my family. I gotta take this season off. So they're bringing back Bananas, but it's like, I just want people to learn how to play, because the last season, I think the reason why the last season doesn't stand out at all is because they never put CT in an elimination. Like, how do you let CT have a cakewalk to the finals? Like,
you did, did you Production said no. We ain't putting him in there. We're not putting him in there.
No, we can use the production thing for double agents when the first elimination they put in CT and Wes and they was like, no, it's a woman's elimination. That was production. But last season it was just these people were too dumb. Like at least Kyle established that he had this type of relationship with CT out, so he wasn't going to put CT in. He actually wanted to team up with CT at all costs going into the finals. But like everybody else, it was just like, yo, Fessy, you're always talking about, oh, you're better than CT. Why are you not trying to put CT into the elimination? Why are you doing this whole veteran alliance and all this stuff? Like that made the season so trash. Like it was like, why would you let the guy who is one of the all-time GOATs get a cakewalk to the final? So I'm hoping with season 38, they throw Bananas in at all costs, because that's the only way Bananas is not going to win his eighth championship is if he goes into more than one elimination.
Production going to make sure Bananas is around for at least like 6 episodes. They ain't losing Johnny Bananas that quickly. They will keep this man around somehow, some way. If they do throw him into an elimination, they'll make sure it's something Bananas is good at, something they can rig for him. Like they will make sure this man sticks around, because if he's off this show, I don't know what else they got left. I have no idea what they have left. I've not looked at the cast list close enough. When does the season start, SV3? It's got to be soon, right?
I think they're filming it right now, so it's probably not till like the fall.
Oh, I thought it was starting sooner. When's the next? I feel like there was some season that's like starting fairly soon.
That's the Challenge CBS. It starts in the second week of July.
All right, hold on. The Challenge, so many. Yeah, July 6th. So that's next week? Next week, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy. All right. There's so much Challenge stuff. Can't keep track
next
of it
next
all.
Wednesday. Yeah, next Wednesday.
So next Wednesday.
The Challenge CBS.
Oh man.
So next week's show, we are gonna do the greatest
draft
ever. This is gonna be the most me for especially me and Cher. We gotta hit up Cher during the week to let her know. Cause she'll probably just look at the cast and be like, oh, I don't care. I'm just gonna pick whoever. That's how I am. I'm just gonna pick whoever. I'm gonna watch the couple of YouTubers that I follow that cover the challenge and take their perspective and be like, all right, I'm gonna trust Angel Cake Entertainment. This is the guy for me to pick.
Yeah, we've got to do our draft next week. So all right, we've got that settled, that we'll be doing our draft next week for the Challenge CBS. Cher and SP3 have no idea who any of these people are. I know a few from Big Brother. Whether that gives me the advantage or not, who knows? It's such a crapshoot because I have no idea how they're going to do it in a challenge setting. Just don't. Like it's a different animal. The people who played well on Big Brother, like they're playing carnival games on Big Brother. They ain't doing like super physical activities. They do have good social games, but I'm pretty sure there's like Amazing Race people. I feel like those people will be good at the physical aspect, but I don't know how good their social game is. Survivor, I think, can go either way, because you do need some physical stuff. You need to be able to what's the theme? Outwit, outlast, outsurvive, whatever the fuck their tagline is. So we'll see how this draft goes next week. Should be something. Anything
should
else?
Be very interesting.
Before we wrap this up,
Love Island is my new favorite reality show.
I gotta get the fiance back watching the Love Island. We gotta get on this.
Me and your arch nemesis Alex McCarthy been talking about Love Island UK because man, this season has been fun. This is my first experience with Love Island. I know it's been going on for like 9 seasons in the UK, but this is my first season watching it. It's so entertaining, so much fun to talk. And then I went down like the rabbit hole of social media when it comes to it too. People get so upset if you start talking trash about their favorite. I mean, they got this one girl, Ekansu, who's been with like three different guys already in 3 weeks. yeah, it's so much fun. She's the pot stirrer of them all. They got another pot stirrer named Jay, who everybody thinks is a producer plant because he's been like causing trouble by just being like, oh, this girl doesn't like you, or then stealing a girl from an established couple. They got Michael Owen, former football player or soccer player for us in the U.S., who his daughter is in it, Gemma Owen, and she's been with this guy since like the second week, but then we just found out during one of the after shows that it's only because he found out that she's Michael Owen's daughter. So he's been fiending to stay with her, and he's like coming off like a clinger, but everybody's saying that it's because he wants Michael Owen's autograph. So it's funny stuff. I've been going down the social media rabbit hole, and that's why I was like, yeah, the new media Forbidden Door, we got to start talking about Love Island and places. So had to talk about that.
I used to do that with the challenge, like look at all the social media drama and stuff that was attached to it, and man, it can get consuming, especially when Carr and Polly were involved. Those two dipshits. Yeah.
I wish I was part of social media during War of the Worlds 2.
Man. You just gotta go on Reddit. Like if you go to the Reddits, like they recap everything. So like I would just go to the challenge Reddit, and it's like, here's the latest update on Carr and Paula. It's like, oh fuck, what are these two doing today? You're right about the rabbit hole. Like you go down that shit, and it's just like you just cannot stop. Spent so much of my time just reading about Cara and Polly drama and all the dumb shit they were doing during their seasons. They got to bring them back. It's a shame.
They do, though.
It's kind of a shame they're not on the ride or die season, this upcoming season. Like it's kind of,
that would have been the easiest way to bring them back too. It's like, why wouldn't you do that? Like, I'm sorry. Like people, I heard like people crapping all over War of the Worlds 2. So I didn't watch it while it was going on. I watched it when I got Paramount Plus last year, and I loved that season. I loved it. I was like, I will say the drama went down when they eliminated Wes, Bananas, and Laurel in consecutive weeks. Yeah. Like I was like, that brought the drama down. But that U.S. team, how did that U.S. team lose? U.S. team had the goats on the challenge, and they literally forced Jordan to go to the U.K. They eliminated Wes, Bananas, and Laurel. It's like, how do you lose when you have the goats? You got some of the female goats with Laurel, Kara, and Ashley. Oh man, that's an all-time confusing winner is that one. But War of the Worlds 1 is one of my favorite seasons ever. That's another one that I didn't watch live. I watched it when I got Paramount Plus. War of the Worlds 2, we need retro reviews of some of these seasons, because War of the Worlds 1 is an all-time challenge season, in my opinion.
I'd say we do retro reviews, but they just have so many seasons now that I don't know if we could ever get into retro reviews. We'll have to do FMC spinoffs,
because there's a lot of people that when we're talking about the challenge, they're like confused and they're like, oh, I don't know. And then if they get Paramount Plus, it's a little overwhelming because they have all the seasons from like 10 to 36 now. So if we could do like, you know, we did our top 10 basketball list. If we could do top 10 seasons, much watch seasons, that might be the route to go.
Might be able to do something like that. We'll figure it all out. SB3, appreciate it as always for a championship celebration edition of FMC. Let everyone know the 3 million places you're at.
Well, follow me on the Twitter machine. My handle's right there, TrueHeelSP3. That's where you can see a bunch of my what I'm doing. I'll post live now on whatever place I'm at today, later on today, 2:15 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to be live with Rick Uccino over on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast YouTube channel. We're going to be talking about Monday Night Raw. We'll talk a little bit about Forbidden Door. Check out Monday Night Live on the ITR Clips channel with myself, Alex McCarthy, and Sati Nyangi talking about Forbidden Door. And if you want a full review, match by match, live experience, everything. True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Myself and Stat King and Jay News, we reviewed the show from top to bottom of Forbidden Door. And tomorrow we go live at 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time with myself, Romeo, and special guest Connor Casey of comicbook.com. And we're going to preview WWE Money in the Bank for this Saturday.
The great Connor Casey. Everyone support SB3. He's here every single week on Fightful Overbooked, on FMC and True Heel Heat. Appreciate it as always, buddy. Guys, we'll be back. We'll be back on Mondays next week. This one was a Tuesday episode due to the wrestling pay-per-view that lasted 18 hours on Sunday night. And I should have been drunk, but I was not. I stayed up so late on Sunday after we won. I was up till 4 a.m. And like the press conference for wrestling ended at 2:30. I just stayed up an extra hour and a half, just like watching highlights and stuff after the victory. I was so like just so much adrenaline. I got 4 hours of sleep on Sunday night. So we had a delayed episode because of that. But it's going to be a good week, everybody. It's great 2022. Because the Colorado Avalanche are the Stanley Cup champions. Bye, everyone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.